Improvise.
Musical.
Comedy.
What are the words?
Making up as you go along.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Rhyming.
Choruses.
Verses.
Bridges.
It's words. It's music.
Sing it. It's musical sometimes.
Welcome to musicalimprovcomedy.co.uk.
Oh, that wasn't very good, was it?
Oh, I thought that was okay.
So we've been doing crazy singing experiments again.
Yes, number two, finally, after being postponed for quite a while, happened.
Yeah.
And this time it happened with the proviso that there were going to be no words.
And no light.
No light. Mind you, Jason did try and block out all the light, but there was a little bit.
There's a little tiny bit. We weren't completely pitch black. Next time, total sensory deprivation.
Absolutely.
Dark enough for us to not be able to see one another, so that's cool.
Yes, and it was Sunday morning again.
Yeah.
And
which is the first hurdle, because anybody that comes out to sing improvised a cappella music for an hour in the dark at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning is already...
It's self-selective, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the one.
So, we again deliberately decided not to try and steer people too much in one direction or another. So, really all we said was to try and listen.
Uh-huh. And we said to try to discover what was musically happening rather than invent what was happening.
Yeah. Which happened most of the time, but there was still some pretty strong invention going on.
That's right. We in fact, we did say at the beginning as well, to expand on that, we said, try not to make strong offers.
Hmm.
So if you're listening to this as somebody who might improvise regularly, that language might ring true with you. For this, strong offers are great, but for this we said, don't make strong offers, because this is a group improvisation,
yeah,
as opposed to a scene between two people or a solo thing.
And again, exactly like the last one, my favourite moments were ones that grew from something imperceptibly small.
Yeah, because that's when we were improvising.
Yeah, and the moments I thought were fun but not satisfying were like themes that were put out there and then picked up on, and everyone played that game for a bit and then it got dropped.
Thank you. when an accident happened that you kind of went, oh no, I don't want this to be the thing that's happening now.
Yeah.
You had to go with it.
Mm.
So, for example, the kind of laughing, coughing bit. Yeah. It's like, I did really enjoy that.
I really enjoyed that too.
To be fair, but it's like that, the gift of improv of when a mistake happens, you know, rather than resisting it, just going, well, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. But again, it is the same thing, isn't it? That's something that happened organically in the room. If someone coughs, that I don't mind that.
No.
If it gets picked up on. And I thought the coughing, laughing bit, I really, really loved it.
I genuinely laughed my head off.
I genuinely laughed my head off too.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting, I was saying this to you earlier, how laughing is such an organic thing to do. And it's so related to your breathing that there was no dividing line between I'm making a noise that's a bit like laughing and I'm laughing.
Anyway, so one thing I would really like to talk about is the group versus solo phenomenon.
Okay.
Because I felt like when things were working, and again, what your definition of working is anyone's when you're making up a song in the dark, is when there was group cohesion and there were moments of kind of counterpoint or little moments that kind of bubbled up out of that. But basically the group found a theme or a riff and they riffed around it for a little while and they stayed with it.
Yes.
And they weren't too original or soloist about it.
I thought when we did hit a groove, we never stayed there for very long. I thought that was quite interesting, that something that seemed so solid had such a limited lifespan. And I wonder if you did it for 24 hours or something, whether you might not stay in a groove for an hour at a time, whether it's related to the fact that we wanted to try a load of different stuff. So, hey, we've done that now, let's move on.
I totally agree with that. I felt this time exactly like the first time. I was just starting to kind of bed into the feeling of what it was by the end of the hour.
Well, I mean, why not talk about the what I think is the most incredible moment of all, which is the chanty moment. It was a very simple riff that got picked up on, but then everyone was in it and doing it. And there was a couple of little solo lines that people did over the top of it.
For you was the most successful moment
musically? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was
because of the unison.
Yes, because the rules were established, and once the rules were established, it was like, okay, cool. And then, as I say, the soloing, as long as it's done reasonably skillfully, is going to sound lovely. It was really solid, and it was unforced, and it was calm, and no, it didn't feel like anyone had to jump in and change it.
Yeah.
We could have done that for eight, and it was very Gregorian chant. So there's another thing that was interesting. In fact, I want to talk about breathing.
Good, because I want to talk about breathing too. How weird.
Because first thing to say about breathing is that you can't hold a note forever.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a lot of the time in the moments when we were holding notes, and mainly that's what we were doing rather than anything rhythmic, I would find myself, or I would notice about someone else, that their note was the kind of anchor point. And that everything else would build in around that. But that note has to stop because your breath runs out. And when that note stops, it's not that note isn't necessarily there anymore. And so everything changes and maybe something else becomes the anchor point. And that whole thing of what I thought this would be about is that mushy chordness gradually changing over time.
Yeah.
Turns out that that's actually almost impossible unless you give that specifically as the instruction.
Yeah.
Because you run out of breath. And sooner or later, over half the room's going to run out of breath at roughly the same time, and then the whole thing just sort of collapses.
It's funny, when you said you wanted to talk about breath, I didn't think that's what we were going to talk about. I wanted to talk about breath because I was pleasantly surprised by how much people used the sound of their breath and their breathing as part of the music. I don't know whether it was a theme of that particular morning or whether it was something that would naturally happen because you took words away, but it felt like there was a lot of people in that group that were comfortable with the idea of breathing and, you know, group breathing. It kind of felt like there might have been a few yogis in the room or something.
Yes, and Liz Peters.
Liz Peters. Oh, yeah, she went a bit sexual, didn't she?
A little bit. I was right next to her.
Wow.
I mean, you know, I'm prepared for uncomfortable experiences in the dark on a Sunday morning, but to be sat next to Liz Peters in the dark on a Sunday morning, going through her breathing. So how would you say because the reason we did it in the dark primarily was to eliminate eye contact.
You said people would listen more.
So people would listen more. So